We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Thanks for being with us. If you're out there having a beverage, send us a picture of it on Twitter at TBM929 at RandyMac81. We'll shout you out. We'll say your name on the radio. Noon hour straight ahead. We'll get to the most important audio in the world in just a minute. Jarvis Davis, 92.9 The Game Falcons insider, going to join us in about 25 minutes from right now. Talk some Falcons and Bucks. We'll get Jarvis's thoughts on the SEC championship game as well. And then Roddy Nabalsi going to join us from UGASports.com, as he always does on Fridays. And normally he joins us at 11:20, but busy week, everything going on. He's going to join us at 12:40 coming up in just about 45 minutes.
Yeah, man, I'm getting my 37-cent Whopper too. My wife's going to go to get me a Whopper.
There you go.
I'm so excited too. I ain't had a Whopper in
a long time.
Yeah, it's been a
couple of
years.
I can't remember the last time I
had a Whopper. But I probably won't eat this one. I just want one because it got 37 cents.
Yeah, how do you go wrong? That's just a great deal. Wendy's right though. Like when you drive by a Burger King or walk by a Burger King or something like that, it is tempting.
Yeah,
because they got that flame broiled smell pumping out of the smokestack on top of that thing. They'll get you sometimes.
Yeah, man. They'll get you. I Burger King to one by the house, close to the Connoisseria. So you go in there and get you some
close to the what?
The Connoisseria, like the Hispanic grocery store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go in there. Yeah, get some chicken feet and stuff. Mm. Make you some stew.
Chicken foot stew.
Yeah, dog. No, it's chicken feet stew, okay? Chicken foot stew.
I'd rather have a 37-cent Whopper than that. Both of them sound pretty good, though.
You know what I'd
really rather have, Randy?
What's that?
A Jersey Mike's sub.
Most
important audio in the world brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is, number one, protection. How well can you protect and allow him to? Because no quarterback's very good without protection. I think we've seen all good quarterbacks have rough days when the protection's not there. So the first thing you have to do is protect him well. You have to have a plan. He has to understand the plan. You have to avoid adverse situations. You know, you get yourself in a bunch of third and longs, I don't care who your quarterback is, he's going to struggle because those take longer routes downfield to develop if you're going to try to get a first down. And experience, that's the number one thing that Stetson's been able to grow from, is looking back at that game. I don't know what that was, his second, third, I don't remember, the fourth start. And, you know, he's played a lot more football now and certainly has improved in terms of decision-making. But that's a critical piece to every game, is that player at that position makes so many decisions during the game that the outcome is usually affected a lot by the quarterbacks that play in the game.
Yeah, everything Kirby Smart says there about the quarterback position and about Stetson Bennett is true. Everything he said at the beginning is true of every quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You got to have protection. You got to have a game plan. You got to make good decisions. You want to be in down and distance situations that are good for you. All of that is true. The thing that's different about Stetson this year, what Kirby's talking about, and the thing that I think is probably most important, because all of that other stuff is true every single game for every single guy. Stetson's played a lot of football now.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot more football than he did last year. And he was in the game last year for a variety of different circumstances. Not all of them were that they really wanted him to be in the game. This is a different situation. Like, Stetson's a starting quarterback because he's played really well. That's why he's starting on Saturday. That's why he's starting tomorrow for the Georgia Bulldogs. And if you look at the numbers, Stetson's been very, very good.
He's been good, man. He really has, Andy. And the things that, you know, you look at, if to give Stetson a problem, bringing pressure from his right and forcing him left and trying to make it seem like, you know, giving him – he throws off his back foot or running away and something like that. Disastrous happens like that. He hasn't had those type moments this year. Now, he's had some horrible throws. The two picks in Florida were god-awful. But, I mean, he's bounced back from it in those things. And that's why I go back to the Florida game. They can't play like that and win tomorrow. They can't have 3 points going and then think that Bryce Young and the Alabama – offense is going to give you 3 straight turnovers. You can't play like that because it's not going to happen. So you got to find a way to not put yourself in bad predicaments if you're Georgia. And then, like, as we keep saying, Andy, just play like you've been playing all season. You're going to have an opportunity for your starters and your big names and your big dudes and your rotation to be just a smaller circle than it's been all season, Andy, outside of Clemson. Because, you know, now everybody got to play. Well, a lot of those guys that got to play in the fourth quarter ain't playing tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want them to play tomorrow. That means we put foots up in Bama.
Right.
But I don't anticipate that happening. I anticipate your dudes playing. I anticipate Jordan Davis playing a lot. Not playing two down, playing some third down. But, I mean, this is all about, you know, the execution that Georgia has offensively. I said it earlier in the show. My biggest I'm not worried about Georgia's defense. I'm not even worried about Georgia's offense. I want to see Georgia's offense ramp it up because I don't think they played their best game yet. Why not do it tomorrow? Now, again, you got still more steps to get to the ultimate goal that you wanted coming into this season. Because the ultimate goal was not to just win the SEC championship, it was win the championship.
Right.
Well, this is a step that you have to get to there.
Yep.
And I would love to see this Georgia team play its best game of the year because they haven't played it yet. They have not. They've been dominant and all those things, but they have not put together a full of my expectations of what they can do.
What was the closest? Like, what would you say is the Arkansas game? Maybe.
Yeah.
They pretty full well handled.
Yeah,
Arkansas.
We handled Arkansas.
37-0.
We handled Arkansas.
Yeah. And that was at the time where Arkansas was undefeated and ranked 8th in the country and all that kind of stuff. And look, Arkansas ended up having a good year. They're a good football team. But that probably was, right? I mean, that was a hell of a performance. There's been a lot of good ones. But I'm with you. Yeah, a full, complete fourth quarter offensive, defensive, because special teams is going to be very important tomorrow as well.
Yep.
You're not going to score on every drive. You're going to have to punt and play the field position game a little bit. You're probably going to have to kick a handful of field goals. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia attempts 3 or 4 field goals tomorrow.
Sure.
I think Podlesny is going to have to be very good tomorrow in order for Georgia to win the game. Everybody's going to have to be on. Let me ask you this, because there's a handful of guys that are going to be either game time decisions or we haven't found out about yet or whatever. 4 guys that are really important. Obviously, Sawyer, we don't know about him yet. Christopher Smith, we're not sure about him yet. Kyrus Jackson, we don't know about his status. And then is there one other guy who we're not sure about yet?
Is it Milton?
Is it Kendall Milton?
Okay.
If you could say, I'll take this one. Like, if you can have one of those guys, which one of those guys is most important to have tomorrow?
It's between Chris Smith and Jamar Slayer.
Yeah.
Sawyer. I always say his damn name wrong.
Well, it looks like Slayer, and Slayer's pretty fun to say.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his nickname.
One of those two. I think Kyrus Jackson, when you look at his impact, I mean, he's such a great player, and he was getting back to himself. He looked so good the last few games, and now you don't know what his status is going to be for Saturday. But that Chris, he just makes plays.
He does.
Always around the ball. You know, and you need all hands on deck. Now, the young man, number 47, he's been playing well when he gets his opportunity.
Yeah, Dan Jackson.
Dan Jackson, thank you.
He's a walk-on.
Yeah.
He's been playing great.
He plays well when he gets his opportunity. He does.
But Christopher Smith is a different player.
He's a better.
Yeah, he's an NFL player. Like Christopher Smith's an NFL safety.
Yeah.
And again, like he's the guy. He made the biggest play of the year for Georgia.
Yeah.
He had the pick six against Clemson. That was the one touchdown in that game. Like he came up biggest on the biggest stage with the biggest play. But I'm with you. Like it would be huge if Sawyer can go. I guess he had a setback mid last week. He was like likely to play against Tech, and then something happened in practice, and then he couldn't go. Hopefully, whatever needed to happen this week, because he's going to be the guy over there on the left side. And I know they move Anderson around. Will Anderson moves around for Bama.
Yeah.
But he's played against him before.
Broderick Jones has been playing solid. Yeah. He's gotten better as a freshman there. It's a big old boy, man. God.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of them other dudes that when I saw him up, when I went up to Athens, I was like, God. Dog it. It's a big boy. It's a big old boy.
That was one of the funniest things. Again, I encourage people to go check out the David Pollack interview from Dukes and Bell yesterday. A lot of really good Georgia stuff. he was talking about all the guys on the defensive line. He was like, man, Devontae Wyatt doesn't get the credit he deserves because you look at him on game film and he looks small.
He looks small.
But he's like, that's just because he's standing next to Jordan Davis.
Andy, that is so true. Like, I'm serious. Like, being up there on the sideline, looking at them. First, I saw Jordan. I was like, I've seen Jordan before. And I've seen them all, but I've never, like, really, like, seen him on – big on game day for some reason. They do in practice. But yeah, when I saw Broderick Jones, I was like, "Are you serious?
That's a big dude.
Look at this baby. He's 17 years old.
Because they will be 350, whatever, 6'5", but they are 18, 19 years old. And their faces. The funniest one to me was the guy from Alabama a couple years ago, Williams.
Oh,
Quentin
yeah.
Williams. Quentin Williams. Because he had braces and a baby face and was a man.
Yes. Like, yes.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. We'll get back into some more Georgia conversation at 12:40 with Rodney Nabalsi. Obviously, huge game tomorrow afternoon right here in Atlanta. You guys will be broadcasting live from noon to 4 from Hudson Grill, college football game time.
That's where we will be. Make sure y'all come down, hang out, holla at us and everything. John Chuckery, he's accepting all hugs.
Two-handed tummy first hugs.
I'm talking about hug, embrace, squeeze. Under his arms. Yeah.
How do you think Arthur Smith feels about hugs? I bet he's not a big hugger.
Arthur Smith ain't got a huggy face.
No, he does not.
He does not.
He might not even hug his wife. Here's Arthur Smith on another surface narrative.
Well, we've only played 4 home games, so small sample size there. Number of factors. You know, every game's a different story. So I don't think it's necessarily just being at home. You know, week one clearly didn't play well enough. You know, Carolina, Washington came down to the wire. And then obviously against New England, it was a close game for most of the fourth, and then they, you know, they finished us off. But I don't think it's necessarily just home. But you know, that's an easy surface narrative to run with, Michael. But we've only had 4 games, and we're going into December, so it's just the way the schedule is. You go to 17 games. The NFC's playing one less home game. We had a home game in London, so I'm asked correct. That's 7 times in our building, and we want to win at home. We appreciate our fans. Our fans did a great job. It was really cool to see you down in Jacksonville. A lot of our fans there. That was awesome. So we got to do our part at home, and we got another opportunity on Sunday. That's how we look at it.
Andy and Brian, you would know this too. It's like Jacksonville. Is it a big retirement place?
I would think so.
I would think so too. Right?
Pretty much every part of Florida.
Yeah, but I would like that area. But St. Augustine and all those places. But
yeah.
I don't know why that just randomly came to me. But anyways, I mean, yeah, they have not won. Technically, they have won a home game. It wasn't in this country. Because they were the home team over there, right?
They're home away from home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tottenham Stadium.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, yeah, it's not a narrative. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Yeah,
but
it's
I think
the truth.
It's not because they're, like, whatever. Like, they don't like playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's because the teams they've played, for the most part, they've played harder home games. The games at home have been against better teams, a lot of them. And that's what the Falcons season has been. Like, they've been competitive and even won 5 games against teams that are in their class or below them. They've gotten blown off the field a handful of times by teams that are better than them.
Right. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Now, this is a team this weekend that's better than them. So they got to find a way at home or whatever. I know it's at home this weekend, but it doesn't really matter. They've got to find a way to not have that happen. You got to be able to find a way to be competitive against teams that are better than you. Now, beat them. Like, beat them. If you can beat a team that's better than you, that's even better. But we haven't even seen the Falcons be particularly competitive against a team that's likely going to be in the playoffs this season.
And that's the thing about it. Slightly competitive, Randy.
Right.
Slightly. And so, you know, but this is going to be a tall test this weekend. Can it be done? Yeah. I mean, anytime you line up on Sunday, anything can happen. If we've ever seen that this year, with all the bad teams beating good teams, I mean, but it just looks like, you know, the Falcons, they got to run the football. They got to run the football, and they got to get a couple turnovers any way you can. Intercept Brady, sack fumble. They had a sack fumble against Brady. Mm-hmm. You know, Deion did. So any way they can get the ball off of this offense, they have to be able to do that on Sunday.
Well, it sounds like Deion's getting healthier. He's practiced this week, so that's a good sign. I heard Dante Fowler was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday too. He had a sack last weekend. Maybe he can build on that. Don't know. Like, it's kind of setting the bar low.
Oh, by the way, everybody, Dukes and Bell are at Twin Peaks. Which one, Brian? Are they in Buckhead?
One of them.
Yeah, I think they're in Buckhead today. So, yeah, make sure y'all go out there and see the boys and see the fellas and hang out with them.
We'll find out for sure and let you know. But, yeah, they're going to be broadcasting live from 2 to 7 today at Twin Peaks.
They're in Buckhead. Okay.
Okay, that's they're in Buckhead. Perfect. Let's hear an audio clip that's going to make, well, both of us angry, but I know specifically Randy because he talked about it before the show. Here's Rob Manfred.
After the owners' meeting in Chicago, I made clear the rationale for an off-season lockout. It's the norm in professional sports, and we feel it's the best strategy to protect the 2022 season for the benefit of our fans.
Man, shut the hell up, Rob. All right, this dude, Andy. Ooh, what the hell are you talking about? Protect our fans.
Yeah, there's nothing better that fans like than lockouts.
I mean, really. Like, what this
labor
dude,
negotiations.
You know what? I believe in giving people benefits of the doubt sometimes. I ain't never like this cat right here, Andy.
Well, he's lost it.
He's a dude. I mean,
lost the benefit
the stuff
of the doubt.
That he said made me so mad, and he kept bringing it back to the fans. Mm-hmm. No, dude, this is about y'all. Mm-hmm. All right, it's about you and them. When he stood there and said, all right, and I don't get into all the arbitration and the whips and the war and all that other crap. So if you come in with me with that, go to hell, because I don't care. Before you even say sin, I don't care, okay? But for you to sit up there and say that we don't want shorter contracts, or no, players getting to free agency faster because it's bad for the fans,
yep.
The hell are you talking about? It ain't fair to the player that he got to wait 7 years in order to get big money sometimes.
That's
or
true.
9 years.
Yep.
Come on, man.
It's true. And I don't know that that has done anything to level the playing field either. Like, we've been playing in this system for a long time. And, like, teams tank.
Teams tank. I mean, I don't like the tanking part. I don't like the salary dump. It benefited the Braves this year, so I can't complain.
Yes, it did. But, and the Braves tanked, like, 5 years ago.
You
and
know
got
what I mean?
All this,
like, I understand. But, dog, I mean, his voice.
I know, that's the biggest part.
Dude.
He it's like, to, listening like, to him just makes me want to play.
Like, I see. I boo him.
He's definitely booed. He's got a voice face matchup guy though.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, his voice sounds like his face.
Yes,
and his
it
face
does.
Sounds like his
I
want to
hit him in the face with a fishtail.
A frozen one.
A frozen fishtail.
All right, we'll come back. Jarvis Davis is going to join us. We'll talk more Falcons and Bucks with him. Rodney Nabalsi going to join us in about half an hour to talk more about the SEC championship game. Ooh. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Woo! Sale therapy.
I know this one makes our next guest happy. That's for
whew.
Sure.
Hey, man, you know how it's going to be over there on North Side Drive, man? They got the black UJ alumni throwing a tailgate, too?
gonna be a it's gonna be a great weekend.
It's gonna be a whole bunch of line stepping and everything. Like y'all just remember, ladies, we've been out of college a long time now. You can't dip it like you used to.
Well, that's what Brian and Wendy were talking about, the importance of stretching earlier.
Yeah, man.
Get limber before you try to do all that stuff.
Listen, get limber.
Get limber.
Can you get limber?
You're not 22 anymore.
Can you get limber after a certain age?
No.
I don't think so.
Only so limber. Like, at this point in my life, there's only so much I can do.
I'm at my limber prime.
When'd you pass your limber prime?
My limber prime, once I hung up them cleats and they didn't have to touch my toes no more for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know what I am, but I'm not
limber.
I
wish I would be stretchy going out of the Kia studio. Gotta get ready for this damn 10-2.
Gotta get ready to get the hot takes out. Stretched out. All right, Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us in about 20 minutes. We'll get back into some SEC championship conversation with him. I think that's actually – I mean, Jarvis is our Falcons insider, but we do want to talk to him about the Georgia game too. So let's get to Jarvis.
Joining the show now is D-line expert, Albany State great, and Atlanta Falcons insider, or outsider, depending on who you ask, Jarvis Davis.
Join us every Friday at 12:20. Follow him on Twitter at JarvisD90. Jarvis, you were actually in here this morning, and we were talking about the SEC championship game, and you had a couple different things on your mind as far as, all right, Georgia's got to do this, Georgia's got to do that, things that maybe worry you a little bit about the game tomorrow.
What up, Big J?
Hey, what's going on, Randy? It's good to know that you don't have to bend over and touch your toes anymore, man. That's good stuff.
Dog. Hey, man, I told you, I don't scrub the ground no more. I take that back because my daughter, Kai, was with some of her friends, and the song came on, and I was scrubbing the ground. The new one, the Quavo one.
Uh-huh.
Boy, them damn knees. Man, you want to talk about knees. It was like 98 degrees.
We were texting that day, and you said that song might have played 3, 4, 5 times in a row.
Remember I said that?
Yeah. And you were going to be sore. That's the way that it goes.
Go ahead, Jarvis. You can finish your answer now.
It's just a couple of things when it comes to this Georgia-Alabama game. And I was just kind of look at a couple of things, and I started thinking about, you know, the Ohio State transfer, Jameson Williams, and what he's been able to be for Alabama this year. And John Mechie, you know, being kind of like the possession guy, possession type receiver. And then Bryce Young having the Heisman moment last week. I'm just like, man, these dudes been tested, man, throughout the year. And it just kind of – and it worries, it concerns me a little bit. Worries a bit too big of a word. It concerns me some when you have a team that has gone through things, their back has been against the wall, and you see how they responded in those moments. And they're going up against a team where second half of most of all their games, you're thinking about putting the backups in, or you want to go get a couple guys in there to get a couple good looks at them and say, oh yeah, let's see what this guy be in this particular situation. Like, you trying out different dudes. So I just think that, you know, it's an interesting matchup given the fact that, of course, don't get me wrong, but with Georgia, Alabama, yeah, that makes it interesting. It's just interesting to me that Georgia really hasn't been tested this year versus Alabama. They've been through battles. They've had to figure out how to win games, and that's a position that they haven't been in before. And I'm just interested to see how Georgia responds if they get put in a position where their backs are against the wall.
And Jay, when you say that, because that's what most people have been saying this year, because Georgia hasn't been tested at all those different things. And I said this earlier, they're going to face adversity. This is the best team they've played, but we said it about every week. But this time I really do mean it. It's the best team that they play. When you look at the fact that they haven't played anybody, what's the one thing that you will, when you watch this game tomorrow, that you're going to be like, okay, can Georgia bounce back from that? Is it a turnover? Is it them getting behind by multiple scores? Maybe it's like 10 points. Which one would it be?
Turnover piece, man, because I think that if Georgia does turn the ball over, we'll be surprised if it's an interception by Stetson Bennett. We'll be shocked. You know, I would like to see how Stetson Bennett responds. Does he start creeping in his mind? Like, oh, is JT Daniels starting getting ready to come in? I want to see how Kirby responds. Does he start thinking about, you know, possibly pulling the trigger on JT Daniels? Or does Stetson Bennett have a quick hook at all? If he throws two picks, will he still play the entire game? Those are the type of things that I'm looking for. I'm like, okay. And also, just from the offensive, you know, game plan, like, what are they going to try to do? Are they going to try to test Alabama deep? Or are they going to try to, you know, run the ground and pound it and try to shorten the game and try to keep the ball away from Alabama. Those are the type of things I'll be looking for tomorrow.
Now, that's the first game in Mercedes-Benz this weekend. The next game will be the Falcons taking on the Bucs, which is obviously a big game as well. And I know, you know, in terms of record and in terms of standings, the Falcons are tied for the seventh spot right now. But I think, you know, you also watch what you've seen with your eyes this year and realize that, you know, a lot of what you've seen might not look like playoff football. Would this be the one, like, the Falcons could find a way to beat the Bucs on Sunday? Does that feel like it really validates maybe getting into that playoff conversation?
Because I've been one that I said I refuse to use that word until I see some consistency from this team.
Hell yeah, and you
know what I mean? Like, yeah. I won't use that P word. I just can't do it, Rand. I just can't pull it out of my vocabulary for this team until I see these guys put together good, consistent performances back to back. And what I really would love to see, if we're able to see the Falcons put together a nice running game. If Cordarrelle Patterson, they either rip off another 100 yards rushing against this team, now I use the P word in. If I see that stat line at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and it says Cordarrelle Patterson had 16 carries for 95 yards and 97 yards and a touchdown, yeah, I use the P word in for sure.
Jarvis, I know there is no advantage on either when I'm talking about the trenches for the Falcons, but who has the slight advantage, you might think, on either side of the ball? Was it the offensive line for the Falcons or the defensive line? Now, no, they don't either have it, but I'm just saying, who has a better matchup, I should say?
I look at it like, just from a start, I think the front for the Falcons will possibly be able to take advantage of the Tampa Bay offensive line, because when you just look at their performance in the last game, you know, Debo had a sack, you know, you had Marlon Davidson had a sack, and Dante Fowler had a sack. So if they're able to do what they did against in that first matchup and get Tom Brady on the ground, if you're able to do that, like, that's half the battle right there. If you can get Tom Brady rattled from a standpoint, you know, and get him uncomfortable in that pocket, I think they can possibly do some things.
Jarvis Davis joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons as they get set to take on the Tampa Bay Bucs on Sunday afternoon. We saw an offensive line rotation last week, Jarvis. Now, it was at the center position. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about Caleb McGarry. That did not happen. Do you expect to see more movement and more guys getting opportunities to play on the offensive line on Sunday?
I don't know if I see any at any position outside of the center position. But I do expect them to continue to rotate Dahlman and Matt Hennessy, because this is one thing that really didn't come as a surprise to me, because you start to see Dahlman get squeezed in there, get a couple of reps with the ones leading up to last week. So I wasn't too surprised when I saw the rotation, because, I mean, Arthur Smith did say there were going to be some changes. It just wasn't, like, blatant. Like, oh, yeah, sit your sorry behind down. We're going to start Drew Dahlman. No, they're going to ease him into it, because at the end of the day, you can do that. Because Matt Hennessy, I mean, I haven't been crapping on the guy as much as a lot of other people have. You know, I think he's been okay at times. But if that talent level is what it is with him at this moment. So what's wrong with, you know, putting somebody else in there that could possibly be that or better, you know, because the bar is low, right? So it's not like it's Alex Mack and he's trying to rotate.
Right.
That's a whole nother conversation. But when you got a guy that may be possibly be better than him, hey, I'm fine with the rotation. As long as they're getting the snap to Matt, as long as Matt is comfortable with them snapping the football and getting the football back to him, I don't have an issue with it at all.
Jarvis, we know that Grady's going to do his thing. Grady's been doing his thing all season long. But I saw, and I don't know if this is true, let me know, Steven Means is coming back, or he was activated or whatever that was. Does he bring anything special that might help this defensive line play a little bit better?
Just from a rotational standpoint, you got another guy that can potentially come off the edge. So you need all the help you can get, because, you know, Barters came in and, you know, he did pretty solid for you, and that afforded them the opportunity to, you know, cut JTM and now Adi Ogundeji is getting moved into a starting role. So I think the more edge guys you can get that can possibly get to the quarterback, that's the better, man. They need all the help they can get.
It feels like it, and this happens with rookie players, but it feels like there's been a little bit of an up and down to what Kyle Pitts has done production-wise this year. Early in the season, look, he's a rookie, and then they kind of figured out how to use him, had a couple really big games, and then not so big games. Does it feel like maybe we're approaching the second time they figure out what defenses have done against Kyle Pitts and try to get him more involved in the pass game in the final, what, five or six games of the season?
Yeah, I think so, because when you think about it, like, your tight end being your lead wide receiver, leading receiver, like that, those offenses always continue may struggle, right? So I think about back to the Kansas City offense when it was Tony Gonzalez and Priest Holmes. They never really could find a real threat on the outside. But the thing about it is, when you have a tight end as your lead receiver, you got to be able to run the damn football. You cannot sit up there and not be successful running the football and trying to throw the football to your tight end as your lead guy. If your lead guy is going to be your tight end, you better be able to run the football, because that's when you're going to be able to take advantage of play action, and those linebackers eyes going to be in the backfield, and that tight end going to be able to sneak behind those, get up to that second level, and have the one-on-one with the safeties and everything. So those things kind of go hand in hand. So I think that if they're able to continue to run the football like we saw against Jacksonville, I know that's a big ask. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way that Kyle is going to be able to be successful on a consistent basis.
Jarvis, we appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it,
Big
J. Great
stuff, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. And Randy, man, don't even think about up and over anymore, man. I'm glad you're doing that, brother. That's good. I'm glad you're turning your life around, my brother.
Thanks, man.
Come on. Jarvis Davis there, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. At JarvisD90, you can follow him on Twitter. Joins us every Friday at 12:20. We'll come back. We'll get to Roddy Nabalsa, UGASports.com. Get back into some SEC championship game conversation. Find out what Roddy's thinking on the night before Georgia takes on Alabama. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Roll out!
20 minutes away from telling you what's trending, top of the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to get the keys to the game at 1:20, but not keys to a Falcons victory. Keys to the SEC championship game. Fantasy Football Friday, still today, though, and we can use your fantasy football questions on Twitter, either at Brian_Gebhardt or at Wendy Radio. We'll answer all your questions coming up at about 1:25. I know he's injured, Randy, but I think Brian still has Gebby's guys to grab. He does. He's got guys. He's just going to grab him a little bit more tenderly because he's not feeling very good.
I got a takeaway of the day that is just unreal. And I know it didn't come over the air, but it will, that Brian just told me that I had no clue about.
What?
Takeaway of the day.
Oh, wow.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Okay, damn. Yes. So that's an hour and 15-minute tease. You did an hour tease yesterday.
Yes.
An hour and 15 today. Okay, yes. We'll get there. Before we do any of that, though, Roddy Nabalsa joins us every single Friday, which we always appreciate, from UGASports.com. On the eve of the SEC championship game, Roddy, how are you?
Doing fine, guys. How are you?
What's up, Rod?
Doing great. Looking forward to tomorrow, obviously. I just want to start with a general expectation as far as style of game question goes. Like, what do you think is the biggest factor in determining the way that this football game looks, the style of football that's played tomorrow?
Every year, in the past three meetings or however far you want to go back, that Georgia has faced Alabama, they've lost before they got off the bus. Because you're basically watching a middle school team go up against a high school team. I mean, Georgia would have, three or four guys drafted. Alabama would have seven or eight. Georgia, on a big year when they'd have five or six guys drafted, a lot of those were, towards, you have one or two first or second rounders. Then you have some middle guys and then some guys at the end. Alabama, the vast majority of their guys are going the first three rounds. You were just outmanned. You'd have to play a perfect game if you're Georgia. You need a turnover. You need a special teams issue. You need a penalty. And you were just kind of you were there with pluck and a puncher's chance. And that's been good enough to get the lead in the last three times you faced them. This year, you are the big dog. You know, you have as good of players. You know, you have first rounders all over the place. You have second rounders all over the place. You have great coaches, just like Alabama's had. This is the first time that you've been even. And here's the thing. When it comes down to how do you play this game tomorrow, I think Kirby's – I don't want to say he's learned a lesson, because Alabama's not going to die. They should have lost to Auburn. They should have lost to some other teams, but they're going to fight. I don't think Kirby and his play not to lose attitude, which they seem to have had the last few times they've gotten a lead on Alabama, will be in evidence tomorrow. Tomorrow it's, hey, these guys are Jason Voorhees. Alabama's just going to keep coming back. They will not die. Just keep stabbing. Just keep going after them. Keep running around the score. You don't need a 10-minute run the clock out, drive on the ground. You need to keep putting on points, you know, and keep going after them. And this is the year that you have the players to do it. You haven't had that in the past. Everything had to go your way. Not this time.
Any updates, Rod, on the injuries of some of the players? We know Kyrus Jackson. I didn't realize he got hurt in the Georgia Tech game. But Kyrus Jackson, guys like that. Any updates?
Kyrus Jackson should be fine. I'm sure he won't be. And that's the guy you need. That's a senior leader, a guy who's made plays, a guy who's been in this game before, a guy who's gone toe to toe with him and realizes, even though they're Ala freaking Bama, you are Georgia, and you know that you could have gone to Alabama, but you're a Georgia, and you came to Georgia to win those games. You know, in years past, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Nakobe Dean and Quay Walker, they'd all be at Alabama. This year, they're in Georgia. So when you have a guy like Kyrus Jackson telling them, hey, I've played these guys. I've gone toe-to-toe with them. We can beat them. You need that. And now you have George Pickens. He'll be healthy. Now all of a sudden you can't double-team Brock Bowers because you got to account for George Pickens on the edge. That's big. Now, you do got to worry about Chris Smith. I think that is a guy that might be the key to the game. Mm-hmm. They love to go deep. And Georgia's gotten beat deep so many times, but we don't talk about it because those receivers drop those passes. Go back to Demetrius Robertson at Auburn dropping passes. Go back to Tennessee dropping long ones. They've gotten behind them, and if you can get Chris Smith, the safety, healthy, that would be big. And you got to stop Will Anderson, the best defensive player in the nation. And I don't say that to put down anybody on Georgia squad, but this guy's got 29.5 tackles for loss. The next closest guy's at 22.
Right.
Come on. This guy is just an absolute monster. And you need a Jamari Sawyer in the game, but Jamari's going to be a game-time decision. So with Chris Smith and Kendall Milton and Jamari Sawyer game-time decisions, that means they're not ready right now. And that means they're not going to be at their best. Mm-hmm. You know, so they'll be, you hope that they can go, but that's, you're not finding out until right before the game if they're going to be healthy enough. You want to be at your absolute best when you're facing those guys, and it's going to be they'll have to platoon, different players at the safety spot and the left tackle spot, regardless of what type of health Jamari and Jackson are in. I mean, Jamari and Chris Smith are in.
Roddy, you just mentioned a minute ago that Pickens will be healthy. Pickens played against Georgia Tech a few snaps. What do you think his role can actually look like tomorrow, George Pickens, that is?
Well, it depends on the defense. If they want to give him one-on-ones, then he'll torch him. He is back. I know a lot of people say, he had to knock some rust off. He only had 7 snaps. Maybe he's on the pitch count. From what I'm hearing about in practice, this guy is tearing it up in practice. He's had some great pitches and catching with Stetson Bennett. He's done a lot of the same with JT Daniels. The guy is making plays in practice. He's ready to go out there and do what George Pickens does. He's confident in his body. I think getting him in that Georgia Tech game was huge from the mental standpoint of actually going out there and getting hit, catching a pass, getting back to it, knowing that you're an active member of the team. I think that's huge. But if they just want to go one-on-one with him, well, then he can be he can be more than just a decoy. But if he's just a decoy, then that means you can't double up Brock Bowers. And Brock Bowers could have a huge day. The tight ends could have a field day against the linebackers of Alabama or the nickelbacks, you know, or the safeties. I think both teams are going to kind of go after each other's safeties and nickels or corners, you know, nickelbacks. It's go where you get the biggest mismatches, and that's where you'll see them on both sides of the ball.
What's the biggest X factor for Georgia in this game, Roddy?
Biggest X factor to me has got to be, you know, what if they get behind? Mm-hmm. They've only and that sounds silly, but they've not trailed. But they trailed three times, maybe a total of 10 minutes in the entire season, and it shouldn't be a factor. They can they're a quick strike team. One of our guys showed me that Alabama. You think of them as being this huge explosive offense. They've had 23 plays of over 30 yards. Well, Georgia's had 21 plays of over 30 yards through the air, so it's not a huge difference. Georgia can score quickly. You saw that against the against Florida. You know, 21 points in 2 minutes. They can throw up some points quickly, but what happens if they're down a score or two and it starts sinking in that, oh no, this is going to be a fight. What do we do? And you guys have seen where you're just waiting on someone to make a play, and everybody thinks it's going to be somebody else. That's the thing you got to avoid. It's just avoid. The X factor to me is, how do they respond if they're put into a position they haven't been in all year? Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe you have a turnover, maybe you have a special teams blunder, maybe you have some sort of issue, and all of a sudden you're behind. That to me is an X factor, because we have no idea how they will respond to that.
What do you think is the most important one-on-one matchup in this game?
One-on-one, I got to think. Whichever one of Georgia's tight ends is lined up against Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. If you give Stetson Bennett a little bit of time, a clean pocket, he'll pick you apart. Get him on his back, get him flushed. Now you've got an issue, because you don't have a ton of great wide receivers. You have a bunch of capable guys, but you don't have Mitchie and Jameson Williams. So somebody's got to be able to stop him. Somebody's got to be able to tie him up, you know, slow his rolls. You know, keep Anderson out of the backfield, or just give your guy time. That's me, for a one-on-one standpoint. That's their most dangerous player, in my opinion. And so if you want to beat him, that's the guy you got to account for. Just like you got to account for Jordan Davis.
Yep.
You know, Jordan Davis against the center with a bad ankle. You know, you got to give, you know, think Georgia, that's the best matchup. But again, you can put a guard on him, and all of a sudden he's double-teamed. He's going up against a guy and a half. But how do you one-on-one Will Anderson?
Ain't nobody one-on-one with Will Anderson, Ronnie? I hope not.
That's what I'm saying. So
you don't.
You said, you know, you asked what's a single matchup. I'm like, that, you know, how do you match up that guy?
Right.
So somebody needs to slow him. So you're going to have to, you know, tight ends are going to have to work cut out for him. Maybe you don't see you see Zamir White in there a lot more as a tailback because he's good in pass pro. So.
The most important one-on-one matchup is don't let Will Anderson be one-on-one.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, there you go. That's yeah, let's rephrase it that way.
Roddy, we appreciate it. Great stuff as always.
Appreciate
Thank you,
brother.
Roddy DeBalsi there from UGASports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Roddy DeBalsi. We'll come back. Final hour on a Happy Hour Friday. A lot to do still. We get the AMA in about 45 minutes. You can send us questions. Fantasy Football Friday as well. Send Brian and Wendy your questions. Send us pictures of whatever it is you're drinking. We'll shout you out on the radio. We'll tell you what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.